We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Marshawn takes down Pitlick and pounds him for a hit behind the play on Bergeron.
Yeah, puck was long gone. You know, Bergeron tried to make a steal. He was kind of reaching back behind him as it, and he turned to his left, and there was Pitlick who buried him, and Marshawn saw it. He wasn't going to allow that to happen to his captain.
People don't yet the building to see Rem Pitlick. They pay to see Patrice Bergeron.
You don't hit our captain late. That was a 3-second late hit. I love the fact that Marshawn made the guy pay a price for doing it.
Jim Montgomery after the game. If you're unfamiliar with what went down last night at the Garden, it was a good show. I mean, normally I don't come in and say this. I'm not like, boy, that was a fun one at the Garden last night. But it was a fun one at the Garden last night. And it's hour number three, Jones and Mego with Arcan. Taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. Bergeron gets hit late by Pitlick, who Jack makes sure to let you know.
Tough name, by the way.
No one pays for him.
Just really thought about that.
You don't like it?
A Pitlick.
That's what Marchand did to that guy on the Leafs, I think, right?
That's true. Yeah. Megan Pitlick. You know, that's not what, you know, like the...
Look, I don't have, like, a wonderful last name. I've got tortellini a lot on the playground. Oh, Megan Tortellini, you smell like spaghetti.
Kids can be so
don't
cruel.
Laugh.
Roasted.
Don't kids laugh. Can be. You this know what? My childhood.
You know what I got a lot of? Adam. You ever think about that?
That's stupid.
Well, not when you're six. It burns pretty good when you're six, I can tell you. Yeah, it burns. It burns pretty good.
You know what a good thing about
if
the name?
I walked over to you right now and just gave you one big lick right from the chin all the way up.
One good thing about the name Christian, doesn't rhyme with anything. Tough for kids to make up songs about it. I sort of skated on that when I was a kid.
I feel like I could make stuff rhyme with that.
Yeah, try it.
I'll think about it. Can't believe I haven't thought about it prior to now, given how long we've worked together. But anyway, so when it comes to what went down at the Garden last night, Bergeron gets hit late by Pitlick. Marchand beelines over and beats him up, right? So I love that response. I feel like you don't get as much of that in the NHL anymore than you used to. And not that I'm like crying for the days of... You know, line brawls and things like that. Though I enjoy those. I'm not anti-fighting in the NHL.
We did have a little bit of that last season.
No, and I'm just saying you get less of it now in today's NHL. And I'm not crying for yesteryear. Like, I like scoring, and scoring's way up in the NHL. And if the trade-off is I don't get to see a couple of goons fighting each other, well, then fine. I'll take that trade-off. I will. I know not every hockey fan feels that way. And if you disagree, you can chime in. 617-779-7937 about the direction of the sport. I like the skill. And I like the scoring, and I'm sorry, I have trouble sitting through a 1-0 game, even if there's a bunch of fights. Maybe enough fights will get me to sit down. But if there's a planned fight between two goons and it's 1-0, that doesn't do it for me. You know, I like 5-4. I like 6-4. I like games like that. Yeah, even 4-2 last night. But you don't see as much of it in the NHL. It is weird to be sitting here with the Bruins and wondering if they have enough grit and enough toughness and enough edge. And I'm not talking about fights. I should have clarified this when we talked about it earlier, and we got a bunch of texts at 37937. Jones, there's no fighting in the playoffs. No, I know. That's not what I meant. I meant, do they have that edge to get through physical teams and protect their teammates after the whistle so guys aren't taking advantage of David Pastrnak? You know, David Pastrnak's getting knocked around after the whistle, and you're just letting another team take their physicality to them and get in your cage. And all these things, these cliches that I do think are valid when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I do. So the Bruins have enough of it. And the more I think about it, the more Don Sweeney agrees with me, which maybe is not a great place to be, but Don Sweeney agreed this team did not have enough toughness and edge and grit. So he went out and addressed it. He got Garnet Hathaway, and he got Dmitry Orlov, who does bring some of that, although he's a high-skill player as well. And they add Bertuzzi, who I think is a nice blend of the two. Do the Bruins have enough of it, Mego? Because I'm watching last night, and I'm like, oh, look at Marchand standing up for his teammate. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if the Bruins have enough of that. Now, I'll take the skill over the grit. I'll take that every day of the week. But I think a championship team has a good combination of it. Do the Bruins have the right combination? My personal answer is they probably do, but I'm not sure. I want to see it.
They do. And I was going to bring up the trade deadline additions that you just mentioned, especially Hathaway. We haven't seen much from him in terms of that realm of his game.
Not yet.
But I feel like it's jumping out to you because, sorry, it was such a great retaliation from Marchand last night for Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, and you're just like, where's that been this year?
And you realize, oh, we haven't seen that much of it. Now, I mean, with Marchand, you always have to toe the line with how far you want him to take that. And if they have other guys on the team who can assume that role, like Hathaway, I think that's good. But I feel like they also haven't been in so many situations where they need to tap into that. Where last night it was clearly something that in the moment pissed Marchand off and he retaliated. And there just haven't been that many cases of that.
I think part of the reason I'm wondering this, and you can weigh in, do the Bruins have enough grit? Do they have enough edge? Do they have enough toughness to win a cup, to go through 2 months of that grind? I mean, Don Sweeney feared that at the trade deadline. Did he do enough there? Again, 617-779-7937. Maybe the reason, Arcan, I wonder if the Bruins have enough of it is because my whole lifetime, that's what the Bruins always had an excess of.
Yeah.
They always had it, and they never had the skill. And now it's like, no, they have the high-end skill. I mean, this Bruins team absolutely has it. They do. You know, there are other teams that I think have skill that competes with them. You know, Colorado has high-end skill, and Toronto has high-end skill, and Edmonton, the Rangers after the deadline, and Edmonton. There's other teams that also have it. I'm not saying the Bruins are the only ones that have it, but they clearly have it. They're one of those teams now that have it. Maybe I'm just comparing the Bruins to 2011 or other teams from my childhood where the Bruins had the edge, but maybe they didn't have the high-end skill. Maybe that's what I'm comparing them to, which isn't fair to them.
That's maybe. I think with this type of thing on a team, generally it only takes one guy. One big, tough goon who goes out there and hits people and fight, you know, like Wilson or somebody like that. You know, someone who's just, that's their job and that's what they do. And Wilson can score goals too, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, he's a good blend of the
players
team, yeah.
Like, you know, Scott or somebody like that. Those are the type of guy, just them alone can change the overall perception of an entire team. Like, if he's on a team with a bunch of little guys, well, that's a tough team because Scott's there, because George Laroque's there, because, you know, whoever's there. And that's just sort of the way it goes, you know? And I think that the Bruins don't have that one guy that you look at. But as you sort of were alluding to, those guys are getting phased out of the NHL. Those guys don't really have much of a place in the modern NHL. So I don't really think it's that weird
Maybe the Orlovs and the Bertuzzis of the world, and definitely to a lesser degree, you know, Hathaway and Greer.
Hathaway's the closest to that, I think.
To the blend?
No. Hathaway's the closest to the guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Greer's
to the enforcer.
Greer's that.
Greer's kind of a loose cannon.
Greer was a clown last night. Yeah. And again, I'm not talking fighting. I'm just talking about having the edge and not bringing much else to the table. He was a clown last night, cross-checking Hoffman in the face. Like, he deserves a suspension if he gets it. Have we gotten an update on that?
I've not seen anything.
So, I mean, he deserves one for sure. But, you know, when it comes to this team, that's one of the things I'm worried about, but maybe I'm comparing them to 2011 because that team had it in spades. They did not, I feared at the time, have the high-end talent. I think this is a better problem to have. Do you think the Bruins have enough of it? We can get to your phone calls on this. Also on the rivalry with Montreal, it's the only time the Canadiens are in the building all year long, and I want to get to that. But I also want to play Montgomery from the other day. This was this from before the game yesterday,
this was
Ryan?
Or Thursday morning media availability.
Okay, so yesterday before the game, Montgomery was asked about rotating his goaltenders. Let's hear what he had to say.
I do think there's a physical and a mental benefit. I mean, like, we're playing four games every week, right? So they're each getting two games a week. So, you know, it's significant. It's perfect, actually, when you have a split. It's not perfect for the players. It's perfect for our goalies, you know. Our goalies, we're fortunate. We have two elite goaltenders, and, you know, they obviously are great teammates. I think their goalie hug is something that I admired from afar. You know, it spoke to the togetherness of it spoke to the Bruins culture, and I think it's awesome.
Do you consider, you know, having them go in the playoffs as a tandem versus having a number one goaltender?
I mean, we would have no issues with it. I don't know if we're going to do that.
Yeah. But is it something you would you consider, or do you want to do like you want to have like a defined number one?
I think we'll start with, you know, one of them. Most likely, Linus is going to start the first game, and then we'll see how it goes game to game from there. I'm not going to commit to anything beyond game one.
Okay, so it's a short hook. I mean, he's making that clear. He doesn't want a rotation, but he'll have a short hook with Ullmark, which, by the way, I think is the right approach.
You think he doesn't want a rotation? I know it's so unusual, but he totally doesn't rule it out at any point.
He doesn't rule it out, but he also says in the next breath, I don't think we're going to do that. So, yeah, I don't know what that laugh was all about. And I hate the stupid goalie hug. Don't get me started on that. I didn't realize that was in that answer. I hate the stupid goalie hug.
He admires it.
It's the worst thing since the Red Sox.
Something that I admired from afar?
No, it's the worst thing since the Red Sox laundry cart. And Raycroft agrees with me on this, by the way, so you can take it up with the Razor if you want.
I like picturing him, you know, as they do the hug, him just being like, oh.
It's so dumb.
My admiration.
I'd love
to be the meat in that sandwich.
Well, it's so dumb because you know they hate each other. Like, you know they don't actually like each other. Ullmark was, like, trying to choke him with that chicken wing the other day. He wasn't actually trying to beat him.
No.
He's trying to choke him with it. Like, there's no way those two actually like each other. They both want to play.
Swayman didn't look through it. Like, come on, man. I'm a grown man. He's trying to stick food in my face while I'm doing a national media hit.
You want some blue cheese there? Hey, let's fatten you up a little bit before the playoffs there, eh? But so, don't get me started on the stupid thing. No, I don't think he wants the goalie rotation. I don't. I think he has a short hook with Ullmark, though. Like, I think that is clear, and I think the only thing I don't like about that answer from Montgomery is that he's already picked a guy in his mind. Like, I still think it should be a competition. I think Swayman was great last night. Swayman's coming out back-to-back shutouts. He gave up two power play goals. That's it. He made a bunch of great saves last night. I think Swayman was great again. Ullmark was very good the night before, probably better the night before, but I just don't think you should sew up the competition now. There's still 10 more games? Like, let's play it out.
Well, I like that he has only committed to one game, so he's keeping the pressure on Ullmark then. Mm-hmm. That it's like, okay, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do a rotation or not. I don't know if it's going to be you all the way through. This is what it is now, but I'm only committing to one game. I mean, I think that's the right way to play it mentally.
That is pressure for sure on Ullmark. That to me sounds like a quick hook, right? I mean, how'd you interpret it, Arkan?
I interpreted it as if Ullmark gets his ass kicked in game one. Like, gives up six goals or something, then he might not play game
two. What if he gets his ass kicked on Saturday against Tampa?
I don't think that's going to matter.
At this point, he's already decided. Like, nothing can waver his decision.
Unless he goes completely in the tank for these last 7-8 games, whatever it is. Unless he goes completely in the tank, maybe. And I don't think that would help. But I don't think that would be enough to take him off game one.
But what if he does? He already said Ullmark's going to probably get the game. So, like, that is Ullmark going to get Tampa and Toronto? If he plays like ass against those two teams and Swayman keeps playing like he's playing, I think Swayman could still get game one. I think he at least should be in the mix for game one. What do you guys think about it? 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the Bruins?
It's not perfect for the players.
No, it's not. It's not funny either, but it's not perfect for the players. That's true. How you feeling about the goalie rotation idea? Is it sewed up? Should it be Ullmark? Is it done? Or is Swayman still in play? Again, 617-779-7937. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the goalie hug. I know all you guys. Everybody just stays in their seats and turns their cameras on and records the stupid thing while deep down those two hate each other. That's what's going on there.
Something that I admired from afar.
So admirable. This is so admirable that they totally don't hate each other. Arkan has all the latest here in trending, and we're right back with some Patriots thoughts, including not a question anymore, but a statement. They're done. They're not adding anything. This is the roster. Not should they add something. They're done. It's now a statement. We'll get to that after.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
I don't think that anybody in the organization anticipates it happening, and I think part of it is all this comes along with DeAndre Hopkins. Ted, you were in Houston with him. Like, he doesn't practice. There's been attitude issues in the past, and there's been a clash in particular with Bill O'Brien. And I just think that they see this as a bridge too far right now. I think they need to bring in somebody who at least has the potential to grow into a potential number one, which is why I looked at Jerry Jeudy as being a really, really good option. The way they're set up right now, it like feels like the offense is set up for Tom Brady to come in and save the day, and Tom Brady's not here anymore.
That was Burt Breer on Early Edition last night. We didn't address the Brady part of that answer when we talked about this earlier in the show on Jones and Mego with Arcan. We'll get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Any Bruins thoughts out there we can get to? Bees win last night. I'm a little worried about their edge, their physicality, their toughness. Do they have enough of it? It was on display last night. It's the Canadiens. Great, you out-tough the Habs. You should be able to out-tough them. Can you do it for 2 months on a playoff run? Do the Bruins have enough of it? Don Sweeney was worried about it at the trade deadline. You guys answer it for me. Meanwhile, the Brady part, let's just focus on that for a second. Because that was an interesting line from Burt Breer. It feels like Brady is, they're building the roster for like Brady to run in and rescue it. In other words, maybe this roster wouldn't look so bad with an elite quarterback who could lift up all the other pieces like Brady did for so long. And not even like Brady could lift up every piece. You know, when he's throwing to Matthew Mulligan or whatever in an AFC title game, he can't do that. Brady's not that great as he is. But the idea that this would be a roster for an elite quarterback who could elevate the talent, is that what it looks like they're building here? Like, does Bill get that his quarterback is Mac, in other words, and not Brady or Mahomes or someone like that?
Okay, my answer to that is it looks like they're building still, like they still have Brady. And they haven't adjusted to Mac, to having a third-year quarterback who really it feels like, you know, I'm not going to move the goalpost here, but it feels like he's in the second year because you threw his sophomore year away. Like, you tainted it so badly. It just is such a mess that he's regressed, and now it's like he's in his second year again. And whereas the rest of the league, or at least I think some of the really good teams in the league, go out for their second-year quarterback, third-year quarterback, even in the case of Buffalo, and get them a really elite, high-powered weapon, either through the draft or bringing in someone like a Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. The Patriots aren't doing that. They are operating like they have a really high-end veteran quarterback who's going to work with what's given to him, and not that Mac's not going to do that, but I don't think any of these guys, we talk about them being somebody that you have to game plan for.
Oh, yeah.
Even beyond that, none of these guys elevate Mac. None of these guys are going to make Mac look amazing because of the plays that they can make.
Right. The idea would be O'Brien would fix it. But as I've said before, they won 10 games with McDaniels, who we all agree is a better offensive coordinator than Bill O'Brien. And they won 8 last year with Patricia. So fine. McDaniels is on the high end with 10. Patricia's on the low end with 8. What's O'Brien realistically adding to the team? I heard Curran last night on TV say 15-2's in play.
Woo!
For the New England Patriots.
Yes.
Wow.
15-2.
Tom must have been in a good mood yesterday.
We'll have to. Well, I wish I had the brains to ask that to Curran. We'll have to do that next week. But yeah, he thinks 15 wins is in play. So he's very high on Bill O'Brien.
Who are the two losses? Why? Which isn't we it a perfect
do. It's a good question. I am assuming they just rest guys at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They don't want the pressure of the undefeated season.
Of course
is my
not.
Assumption. But so. No, I look at it and say, yeah, they're probably 8 wins, 9 wins, somewhere in there. The roster's fine. The quarterback's okay. The play caller is an upgrade, but fine. That's where they are. But, like, I've seen a little bit of pushback on this, Arcan. Did you see what Volan wrote earlier in the week? Well, not to put you on the spot, but Volan wrote the story about how, you know, this is the year to find out what Mac has.
Right.
And there's some pushback on that. Like, not everybody views it that way. Like, we've called it many times and characterized it as this is a make or break year for Mac.
Yeah.
Right? So you agree with that, Mego?
Yeah.
Well, so I think, and look, I want Mac to have weapons. I've advocated that they should get Hopkins and draft a receiver. Like, that's what I want them to do. I want to be, if you have Mac Jones, you need so many weapons. They need to be everywhere to elevate your quarterback, right? But so there are some out there who say, well, they haven't given him enough yet. They got the play caller, but I still want to see Mac with high-end weapons. Like, for me, if Mac doesn't do it this year, I'm done. I'm already borderline done, but if Mac doesn't do it this year, I'm done. Does he have any wiggle room after this year to say, well, yeah, they got him the play caller, but they didn't go all out on weapons, so give him another year. Is there wiggle room for that?
Well, if it's wiggle room, it's going to look like what Miami's doing with Tua, where you basically
But Tua's already done way more than Mac.
Right, but I
and
think but they still have a exactly. They but they still I'm saying that's what I think the wiggle room would look like
you
in
need
a practical
to give him
way.
The weapons that Tua has. I see.
But who knows? I mean, Bill is always high on trading somebody faster than anybody else. So maybe even if Mac has a good year, it's like, okay, well, Mac's trade value.
Let's sell
maybe
high.
Bill looks at it and says, "I know what this guy actually is." And this year is more of an outlier. Like, even if it's a good year, maybe this year is more of an outlier. He's going to get really expensive soon.
Let's
so
take what
I'm
we can
get. So I'm going to trade him while his value is really high and get back into something else.
Fair. Do you think there's wiggle room for him, Arcand?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit. Because when you talk about Mac Jones and what he should be in his third season, you don't really look at it in a straight line. Because his rookie year with Josh McDaniels, he had a pretty good year. That second year, he should have gotten better, but he didn't because of the coaches. So it's like, O'Brien's here now. Mac Jones in his third year should be 2 years better than his rookie year. You know what I mean? Like, that progression didn't happen in a straight line. So I think it really does depend on what he looks like, but there is a little bit of wiggle room there in the sense that you can make the argument his growth was really stunted last season.
I don't think there's any wiggle room.
I think you can't make that argument his growth got stunted last season?
No, you can.
Well, doesn't that create wiggle room then?
I just reject it. If Mac isn't good this year, they need to move on. And I don't know.
Well, that's a different thing. I mean,
no, that's the wiggle room. I'm done with it. I'm done.
You're saying it's truly make or break.
Yeah,
like 100%.
This is a true make or break year. Yes. Now, maybe we all have a different line of what's acceptable for the make portion of that. But no, if he has another poor year, I don't care that I care that he didn't get weapons, but he needs to produce. He's got the play caller now. That's what he bitched about last year. He's got most of the same. The offensive upgrades were minor. They are there. So if you upgraded the play caller and you minorly upgraded the offense and he's still not good, done with him. Done with him. 617-779-7937. Is there some wiggle room, some gray area there? You can answer the question there on the phones. We'll get to you momentarily. Now, on the other piece that Breer said about DeAndre Hopkins, I heard that, Mego, and I said, you know what, Jones? Don't ask the question anymore. What else are they going to do? Are they done? Who should they add? Stop asking the question. Free agency's done. Over, kaput. And so I think they're done. I think they're done. I don't think they're adding anything else of significance. Now, I hope I'm wrong about this. I would love, love, love in the next 5 minutes for them to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. That'd be great. I'd love for them to even sign Beckham. Like, I'd even take that at this point in time. And I understand there's still the draft and there's other moves on the margins and on the edges of the roster. I get that. It's not a question for me anymore. It's now a statement. They're done. Not are they done. They are done. Because as Bert said, nobody in the building believes they're in on Hopkins. But you think there's another name they could still be in on? You think it's premature for me to say they're out, they're done, this is the roster, right?
Yes, and Breer said it in that clip. I woke up this morning and I jumped on YouTube because I saw that clip. And I saw this piece that Jeff Howe of The Athletic wrote, my former coworker back in the days at the Herald. He wrote about, you know, the Broncos are still taking calls on Jerry Jeudy, but the price tag remains very high. They want a first round pick. And I'm going to tell you, I crunched a lot of tape this morning. I watched a lot of Jeudy highlights and I liked what I saw. Like, to be totally transparent, I wasn't watching a ton of Broncos last season.
No.
I was watching a lot of bad football elsewhere.
Why would you?
I was watching the Patriots every game, every damn down. Then I was watching Washington football, which was really depressing most of the time. I only have so much room for so much bad football. And so I'm sitting here watching Jeudy, and he is super versatile. And going back, reading the articles on him, seeing he's Mac Jones' freshman year roommate. Ooh, he's got the yards after catch. Ooh, but he can be a vertical threat, too. Ooh, he's got all of this, and he's still super young guy. Almost 1,000 yards last year.
Yeah,
I know
he was,
there's some
he was more
injury
productive
concerns.
Last year than I thought.
He was stuck with Russell Wilson. I'm just sitting here going, are you really going to do so much with the first round? Are you really, like, I'm not saying don't go for a receiver in the first round of the draft. Don't use it on a tackle, something like that. But if you're going to trade back, if you're going to trade back because you want to get two picks here somewhere else or something and just throw stuff against the wall, go get that guy.
Yeah, that is the philosophy I would subscribe to. Don't trade back. Use your first round pick to get a more known. Hopkins is more of a known commodity than Judy.
You're overpaying. You are. But guess what? This is an area of need for you, and you need it now.
You should.
And this is what the market is. Sometimes you don't get to win every deal.
Yeah.
You don't get to exploit the market every year. Sometimes you just go out, and they've done it before. They've done it before. They've gone out and overpaid for someone and just... I know everything about this is what they don't like from a deal perspective, but what about from a football perspective?
Yeah, I don't think fans care. Do you care about winning the deal, or do you care about getting a better player? You should care about getting a better...
Do you care about having to pay the player twice?
Right. You should care about... Right. Do you think Eagles fans care they had to give up a first-round pick and pay A.J. Brown? Of course not. You think Dolphins fans care about it with Tyreek Hill? Of course not. Arcan, I know you're in on Judy, too.
Yeah, big time in on Judy. And I think if you bring Judy in... Judy and Schuster and the rest of that, it's a respectable wide receiver room. You know, I mean, it really is. It transforms it in a tangible way. And I think Hopkins would have too. But, you know, Judy's a younger guy.
Hey, Arcan, we're done with Hopkins. Me and you.
Yeah, you two are done.
We're done with Hopkins. We move it on. You're like so yesterday with Hopkins over there.
You're so 2000 and late, Jones.
So 2000 late making that joke.
I like...
elder millennial.
Hopkins over Judy. But I would applaud if they trade for Jerry Judy. Great. I'm not sure he's a true number one, but I'd applaud it. I would. I'd prefer Hopkins, but I'm all in on them upgrading their weapons. So I hope they do. The one thing I don't love is the Mac connection. Like, I don't love that.
Why don't you love that? They've literally played together.
I understand. But do I want Mac Jones calling the shots on this for this organization?
If he's the quarterback, sure.
Yeah, I don't know that he's the quarterback. I have a giant question
for this
as to
year.
Whether or not he's... Okay, right, but if you trade for Jerry Judy for Mac Jones and Mac Jones sucks, then what? Now you're stuck with the wide receiver Mac Jones picked.
Okay, he's a guy who's put up numbers with crappier quarterbacks than Mac Jones.
We're not talking about coming in and working out Slade Bolden for the 400th time.
But what if that's like part of the calculus? It's like, well, Mac likes Judy, so we'll take Judy over Hopkins. I don't like that.
I already want Judy over Hopkins.
I understand you do, but I'm saying if the tiebreaker is Mac in this scenario, I would hate that. I would rather get the player.
Yeah.
I don't want Mac's buddy on the team. And if it works, great. But like, what if it doesn't
work? How do you know they're buddies?
Well, they were roommates. I don't know that
they were
buddies.
Roommates freshman year. That you're assigned.
It's a good point.
A roommate that you didn't like?
Plenty of times, yes.
Was it freshman year?
Most of my roommates didn't like me. But when it comes to this, I hope that's not why they're picking him. That's all. I hope they're picking him because they like him. I hope they're picking him because they go, wow, he'd be a good fit in our offense and he's a good player. Not because Mac likes him.
Wouldn't his pre-existing chemistry with Mac Jones make him a good fit in the offense?
Arcan, they didn't play. Were they ever on the field together?
Yes.
Yes.
I caught about 10 touchdowns from him.
Judy?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he played
I thought he was gone before.
Last four games.
Well, whatever. Oh, so it was, I'm sorry. So it wasn't his big year. It was the year prior to that.
Yeah.
Great. Look, I, if they have chemistry and it works on the field, then great. If Mac has chemistry with any player and it works out, awesome. I'm worried about the offset of that. What if it doesn't? What if it doesn't work out? Then you're stuck with him. Then you're stuck with him. And I think there are better receivers than Jim.
I'd rather be stuck with him than stuck with Hopkins if it doesn't work out.
Banged up,
not practicing Hopkins for 32 years old. I'd rather be stuck with Judy.
Yeah. And then Hopkins gets back into it with O'Brien and poisons the well.
Hopkins can't make it work with every quarterback he's ever played with. Hopkins made it work with
Cardinals have been awesome, huh?
No, but he works.
Sure. I'm just saying he's 32 years old.
So?
He
was on pace for 1,300 yards last year.
Arcan's trying to age.
Yeah, and then what happened? He got off the juice and he couldn't play anymore.
No, dummy. He was on pace for 1,300 yards after the juice last year. That's what he was on pace for. He wasn't hurt last year. He was suspended. So when it comes to Judy hasn't sniffed 1,300. Judy couldn't put up 1,300 yards. Maybe he could, but he hasn't. So like Hopkins,
Judy's best quarterback's also been Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay, that's not true. He played with Russell Wilson last year, which sucks. Which I think would be by far the best quarterback Hopkins has played with.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not true. Hopkins played with Watson. I take it back.
He did play with Watson.
Hopkins played with Watson, and I actually like Kyler Murray. But it's like I like Hopkins better. I'd rather get the better receiver, not Mac's buddy. That's my only point with that. If they're evaluating him independent of Mac and they prefer him to Hopkins, I disagree, but fine. If they're like Mac likes him, 617-779.
Really quick, Hopkins is a superior receiver in all his stats and everything.
Yep.
But just watching the two receivers, who do you think has a bigger upside
in Hopkins.
The way the Patriots run their offense? I feel like
Hopkins plays inside too.
Judy
he can move
can
around
do
the formation
more though.
Mm.
And longer, I mean, if you're going to pay him twice, just longer down the road for him. Like, longer road for him with the Patriots.
Yeah, I would be, I know you hate this, Mego.
Yeah.
I'd also be petrified to miss out on Hopkins and have him go to the Bills.
Yeah. I mean, you're already so far behind the Bills. I'm kind of sure.
But that should, I think that should ratchet up the Patriots' urgency to go get him. Like, the Bills want him. So you're not just getting him, you're keeping him away from Buffalo. And I don't know if
he's probably going to go to Buffalo.
I think he's going to go to Buffalo. So. I don't think the Patriots are getting him. I don't think the Patriots are getting Judy either. I think they're done. I think it's over. I think this is the team.
I really want them to get Judy now.
Judy! I mean, if they do, we can all unite. Or I'll nitpick it. Don't worry. I guess we wouldn't unite.
Oh, my God!
I'd be nitpicking it. Ben's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey. So this Judy and Hopkins talk. So Hopkins is so much better than Judy, it's not even close. He had a second stringer throwing to him, like, the whole half of the year. And even though every team knew they were going to Hopkins, he still got open. With Judy, there was other kind, I guess, people around him. But Russell Wilson himself couldn't even get him to 1,000 yards. Like, there's no comparison here.
Yeah, so Wilson
sucked.
I was talking about Russell Wilson, like, he's good.
I doubled down on it watching those highlights. I'm like, oh, my God, look how Judy adjusted for that underthrown ball. Incredible.
I was just
going
to say, now, I would not use Russell Wilson as a
he couldn't make it work with Russell Wilson to 1,000 yards.
A good quarterback. I was doing that last offseason. I'm no longer doing that. We've done this before, right? Mac or Wilson this year?
This year, Mac. Wilson's washed.
Mac or Wilson?
Mac.
Wilson.
You don't learn.
Wilson had better numbers last year.
And you think he's going to be better this year? I don't think he's going to be worse.
I just don't even know if Mac's good. Wilson at least was good. I don't even know if Mac's good.
He was good years ago.
And yes, I think Wilson will be better this year. I don't know that he's going to be Seattle better, but I think he'll be better.
Okay,
He's got Peyton there.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, that's the head coach. Like, they changed the head coach. The Patriots have the same head coach. Yeah, I think they'll have a better offensive system, yes.
Hopkins did get hurt last year. Didn't he not play the last two games of the year?
I didn't think so.
I don't think he played the last two games.
I thought Hopkins finished out the year, but that team was a disaster. They might have been tanking.
I want to say he played nine games last year.
I mean, he was suspended and then came back and was on pace for 1,300 yards. Was Jerry Judy... Jerry Judy was hurt last year, too. Hasn't Jerry Judy been hurt his whole life?
Yeah, he does get hurt.
Yeah, Jerry Judy's been hurt a bazillion times.
That didn't show up on the tape, though.
Yeah, when you're grinding tape, you don't see all the games he's standing on the sideline. 617-779-7937. We'll continue with your feedback here coming up. And we have Meg Splaining with Megan Ottolini next.
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
I made a decision today about my life. And...
A decision about my life. Well, this sounds significant.
It's an important one to me. And you guys might call me privileged or say I'm acting like a brat. I'm quitting my gym. This is a big deal. I belonged to this gym for a couple years, and I'm done. I've reached a breaking point, and I'm gonna outline exactly how I came to this decision. I haven't notified them yet.
I already like it.
I'm quitting. First of all, I mean, part of it, to be honest, is I mostly do cardio. And I run outside with my dog most of the time now. So, whatever.
So, wait.
You know, I have an active breed dog,
so
a
you have
working
a gym,
breed.
You have a gym membership in addition to all of the cardio you're doing outside.
Yeah, because I used
on
to...
On a rainy day.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot more. Go there, pretend like I'm going to, like, every time I go, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do some strength training. Never happens.
Yeah, right.
By the time I'm done with cardio, I'm like, I'm going to walk on the treadmill and watch reality TV for a half hour.
Look at me. I'm a cardio guy. I don't even look at weights. I'm a cardio guy, yeah.
But this is not a super expensive gym. I would say it's a middle-of-the-road gym.
Okay.
Like, it's clean, the machines work, which is pretty much all I need.
Yep.
But it's nice.
Is
you
it
know?
More of an average Joe's or a global?
It's above an average Joe's.
So you're closer to global.
No, I would say, like, you remember when we used to have, like, the BSCs, the Boston Sports Clubs?
Yes.
It's, like, slightly below that.
Below a BSC.
Are BSCs
it's
gone?
Around a BSC.
Yeah, are they gone?
I think a lot of them got, I might be wrong. I think they went through some financial trouble with the pandemic.
You know, I heard Tyler from The Challenge used to work at a BSC in Davis Square.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
Never worked out at that one. Anyway, that's a digression.
Yes.
So I'm going to say, In terms of like luxury, where 10 is Equinox or Lifetime Fitness or something like that, this one's like a solid 6.
Okay.
So when I first joined this gym, you could, at the front, when you walk in, they had 2 piles of towels. They had hand towels, which, you know, you use. You, maybe you're like wiping down your face when you're running or something. If you're like me and you sweat a lot, that's for another day. Or you could get a big bath towel. And there's pretty nice showers at this gym. And I, you know, I work out in the mornings a lot. And so sometimes I'm going about my day. Sometimes I would be going straight from the gym here to work.
So you gotta.
So I would shower at the gym after.
You gotta get the sweat off.
They had the blow dryers and everything. I'd do my hair. It's different for women. I'd do my makeup in the locker room, whatever. Be great. Like, we were just talking about our morning routines. It was so easy. I could go get my workout in.
Yep.
Grab a towel.
Fly right
shower,
over here. Boom. Yeah.
Throw it in the hamper there. Come back here.
Okay.
So then something happened. A couple months later, I came in one day. They still have the hand towels there that you can just grab.
No big towel.
Bath towel, they said.
BYOB.
BYOT. Bath towel is now $1.
Ooh.
I said, wait, it's $1 for the bath towel? And they said, oh, yeah, it's $1 for the bath towel, you know.
You know why?
$5 actually, for a clean one.
You know why?
It actually takes a lot to launder them.
No. You know why? I bet people are stealing them, like Arcan with the napkins. They're now starting to, they got to build that into the price.
So I.
It's a good idea.
I'm like, well, can you just charge the $1 to my account?
Right.
You have my card on file. Yeah, I don't walk around with a bunch of singles.
It's like putting room service on my hotel room.
Exactly.
Just fine, charge it.
And they
just,
say, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. Maybe I like come in here and I shower twice a week when I work out here or something. So no big deal. $2 on the account. It's like comes out to what? Like $10 at the end of the month or something?
Sure.
Not a big deal.
Right.
What? Did I do that math?
Nah, give or take.
$8. $8.
Like eight,
okay.
Yeah. Depends on the month, I guess.
Depends on the month. Yeah. Depends how much I go. But anyway, so it was not a big factor. A couple months later, I walk in one day and I work out and
everything.
Don't
tell me they're charging you for the hand towel.
I walk back to the counter and I say, hey, could I grab a bath towel? And they say, oh, actually, we don't have bath towels anymore. We only have the hand towels.
And those are $1.
Are you serious? And they were like, yeah, and you have to sign them out.
Wow.
I said, what do you mean? And they had a clipboard with your name and your time in and time out with the towel.
I've not seen the time in and time out, but I've seen at like hotels where you have to, you give them your ID or whatever, and then they give you a towel back.
So this was, I was like, okay, well, can I get 4 hand towels? Because I have to shower and be the weirdest, creepiest woman in the locker room now with 4 hand towels.
Just toweling myself down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just padding different parts of my body.
Oh, Meg was the creep in the locker room.
Exactly. Essentially with washcloths.
They're all like, why is this weirdo showering? Everybody knows there's no towels here.
And then I had to bring all the hand towels.
You signed out the hand towels?
Yeah. And then I had to bring the hand towels back to the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And because you have to return them, so then they give a little check mark that you returned the hand towels, that you didn't steal them.
And they're looking at you like, we know where these have been.
And at this point, I just went, you know what? This gym's fine. It's kind of out of the way. I moved, and so over the last year or so, it isn't super convenient for me anymore. And this towel etiquette is offensive to me. Because
say. Go.
Why don't you just bring your own towel?
Well, I was going to ask, is it allowed? That's not exactly what I was going
to
ask. Is it allowed?
It is allowed.
It has to be allowed, doesn't
here's
it?
Here's the issue.
No. Can you like bring a snack into a restaurant? Like, no.
Here's the issue with that.
Not if they don't have towels.
So I would bring my own towel, but there are no overnight locker usage here. You can only use daily lockers. So that means that I'm bringing a towel in from home, using the towel, stuffing the towel
stinking
into
up
a
gym bag or a car,
and
right?
Getting into my car, because the whole point of this is I'm trying to take a shower there so I can not have to be driving back and forth between my neighborhood and this neighborhood and then go to work. And if you've done that, if you ever forget the towel in the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next time you open your gym bag 3 days later, because it's like a Thursday to a Sunday or something.
You already have like stinky shoes and stuff in there.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, no, that's
like you want to throw up. It ruins the bag.
That's
and
tough.
And for those reasons, I'm out.
So, good. So are you a gym free agent? Like, are you? Yes, I am. So you're looking at other gyms, or you're just disassociating from the gym altogether?
I'm done with this gym. I'm now a free agent.
Gym
if you want to court me for your gym, I am a great gym member. I always wipe down the machines after I use them.
If a gym wants to sponsor Megsplaining,
I don't do any weird workouts. I don't disrupt anyone. I don't make any noises when I run, like, I heard someone doing that on the treadmill the other day, and I just wanted to turn and be like, dude, you control the speed.
Yeah.
Like, relax.
I had a kid I thought this was very mean. I lived in Somerville at the time, and this was not even at a gym. I was running outside, and a kid called me Darth Vader for my heavy breathing. He's like, hey, what? It's like, pipe down there, Darth Vader. I'm like, yikes, I got to work on that. I got to run a little more, apparently.
How fast were you running?
Oh, not fast. I was heavier than huffing and puffing. And it was like, you know, it was like a cocky little 14-year-old or whatever, but yeah. It wasn't a great feeling. I said, get yourself in shape, Jones.
So am I being ridiculous for the towel, for drawing the line with these towels?
No.
Well,
it was really a gradual relationship that
it sounds like you wanted to give them every opportunity
to make
it right.
Like, but I'm not signing my name for hand towels.
Right. I don't get the anti bringing your own towel. But what about this? What if you moved your workout to post work? And then you don't want to drive home sweaty and get the car all gross.
Do you know who ruined that for me? One of the first times I did this shift, I came in and I was like, okay, going to the gym.
Oh, I think I know.
And Fourier goes, you work out after the show? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh my God, I can never do
that.
That's
hard motivation-wise.
I never have the energy for that.
It's easier to get motivated before work than after, yes.
Bore down into my brain.
No, I agree.
And I was like,
with it.
I got to wake up and work out.
Yeah. Up until the last 3 days, I've been working out after work. I don't think it's
aren't
so
you,
weird.
Aren't you hungry at that time?
No, kind of, sort of, but just power through it, and I'm going to have a more enjoyable dinner. I felt worse working out in the morning the last couple days.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Working out in the morning, it makes me feel like my body is failing.
Working out, period, stinks. Yeah, it's not good, but motivation-wise, it's easier to be like, I got some time before work, as opposed to, I'm done with my work day, and I just want to go sit on my couch.
But to be clear, I mean, the hours between 6 and 8 are me just waiting for when does my TV show or game come on.
Yeah, right, but that's all I want to do.
It's just me sitting
there. That's all
there.
I want to do, and then I want to shove food in my face.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's all I want to do. Okay, so how do we feel about Mego quitting the gym here? Is it reasonable to quit the gym?
I really tried, and I'm not naming them.
And do me a favor, line up on the phones on this, 617-779-7937, or text us at 37937. Give me a crazy reason why maybe you've quit the gym. Or a reason that you think is a questionable reason that you've quit the gym. We can get to that with all your phone calls. Plus, we'll circle back to the Celtics coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.